Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd invite you to open up your pew Bibles to page 1130. We'll read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. It's one of those sections where Paul is talking about some really great stuff, but it's sometimes hard to follow his line of thought. So I would encourage you to open up your Bibles and perhaps keep them open through the course of the sermon. I will have the verses up on the text, up on the screen, but it might be helpful for you to see the whole context through the course of the sermon. So Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin is in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that you might guide my lips to speak your truth, that you might open our minds to understand this text, and that you would change our hearts to apply this truth to ourselves, so that we might reign in life through grace. Amen. I'd like to begin with a game. And any kids who want to come on up and play this game with me, you are welcome to. I think many of you know it. It's the game of tag. You know tag? If you tag somebody, you are it, right? So in this game of tag, whenever you get tagged and you are it, you are to stand, if you are able. And once you are tagged, then you should tag somebody else. And you are it. And you need to stand and tag somebody else. Now, obviously, I'm going to need a lot of help because we're going to tag everyone here. You're it. And then, as you are it and stand, You got to keep tagging people. You got to go around and tag people. You can't just stand there because this is a game of tag. And when you're it, you go around and tag people. So you're it, so you have to stand and tag somebody. And you're it, and you have to stand and tag somebody. And you're it, and you have to stand and tag somebody. And you're it, and you have to stand and tag somebody. And you're it, and you're it, and you're it. You have to stand and tag somebody. Go ahead, you're it. You have to go back and tag somebody. You're it. You have to stand and tag somebody. You're it. You have to stand and tag somebody. There's some people back there who aren't it yet. Oh, there's some people back here who aren't it yet. We have to stand and tag people. You're it. You're it. You're it. You're it. You're it. You're it. All right. Now, wasn't that fun? It's so much fun to play tag. We're all it. Now, what's the point? In the lesson that we just heard, the Apostle Paul says, we're all it. From one person, we all got tagged. We got tagged with death. You can sit down and let's take a look at that text. See, this is verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. One man, Adam, broke a command, didn't he? He was it. And death came upon Adam. But death didn't stay with Adam. Death spread. So that death has come upon all of us. Now, the Apostle Paul explains this just a little bit more in the verses after this. This is kind of like a parenthetical remark where he's explaining his thought that we all died because of Adam's sin. He says, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. In other words, before the Ten Commandments, sin was in the world, right? But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. So God gave Adam one command: don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He broke that command, and death came upon Adam. His relationship with God died. His relationship with his wife died. His body would die. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. But the people after Adam did not have a command from God like that, and yet they all died. The pre-flood patriarchs, they all died. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all died long before the time that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Why did they die? Because of Adam's sin. You see, when Adam sinned, death spread. In fact, you can see that as you just kind of walk your way through the first part of Genesis, right? In Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam's sin. And then in Genesis chapter 4, we see that power of sin spreading into his descendants so that Cain kills Abel. Reminds me that power of sin has spread into me because, you know, 1 John tells us that whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. See, the power of sin is spread out from Adam. And then in chapter 5, death spreads. It's not just Adam who dies. Genesis chapter 5, most of the time when you think about Genesis chapter 5, you think about how long people lived. Adam lived 930 years. Methuselah lived close, 969. We'll round up. But the real point of Genesis chapter 5 is not their long ages. The real point is the refrain at the end of everybody's life. And that refrain is, and then he died. And then he died. And it reminds me that from Adam, death has spread to me because my life My life story, it probably won't be almost 1,000 years. It'll be much shorter, but it will end in the same way. And then Pete died. And it's not just me, but it's all of you. Because in Genesis chapter 6, then you see how death spreads to everybody. The flood account. Death spreads from Adam. Now, why does Paul bring this out? Because over and over again, in this letter to the Romans, Paul wants us to understand that we cannot win apart from grace. That before we've done anything, we are already under the sentence of death. Because death and the power of sin has spread out from Adam. But Paul's point is not to leave us in despair. Paul's point is to help us see that something overflows. It's just interesting that in the next section, it doesn't talk about death spreading. And by the way, I got that term, just a little advertising plug. The Evangelical Heritage Version, that's the new translation that our pastors and professors have developed, was just handed out to us at the Synod Convention. In Romans chapter 5, it says that death spreads. That's where I got the idea. But in the next section, it's not something spreads, but something overflows. The picture that I have in my mind is death is kind of like that puddle of blood that you see sometimes in murder mysteries. You know, the blood spreads out, death spreads. But when I think of overflow, I think of like a flood of water flowing over and covering everything else. Something overflows. What overflows? Grace overflows. Take a look at this. But the gift is not like the trespass. The gift that he's talking about is what one man did for us. In the first section of Romans chapter 5, it says that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us who are his enemies. That's the gift. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? You see, death spread out from Adam. We are guilty because of Adam's sin. But God's grace overflows Adam's sin and covers it completely. We are completely forgiven for what Adam did. What Adam's guilt brings on us is gone. It's overflowed by grace. Now, that would be great. Maybe God would just say, that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm going to forgive the guilt that you inherit from Adam, but from now on, you're on your own. But Paul says, no, no, no. God's grace is even greater than that. He goes on in the next verse. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin, Adam's sin. The judgment followed one sin, Adam's sin, and brought condemnation. We're all under the sentence of death. Physical death, eternal death. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. The gift comes after all of our sins. Not just Adam's sin, but all the rest of the sins that we ourselves have done. And God's grace doesn't just overflow Adam's sin, but it overflows my sin and your sin. We are justified. Justified is the idea of declared not guilty like a judge telling you, you are not guilty. Not guilty doesn't say you didn't do anything wrong. Not guilty says you are not going to be punished for anything. You see, God's grace has flooded over my sins and over your sins. But that's not all. Grace floods over something else. It overwhelms death. Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Just think about it. Death reigned. Who's the king in this world? Death. Because death is going to be victorious over every person who has ever lived. Death reigns as king. If by the trespass of the one man, Adam brought death into the world and death reigned through Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I just love looking at kings and queens. Because this text tells me that you reign as a king or a queen. Death does not reign over you. Death does not reign over me. We reign with Christ in a life that will never end. You see, death has been swallowed up in Christ's victory. It's not just that death spreads, but that God's grace overwhelms even our death, so that suddenly death is no longer death, but an entrance into eternal life. We will reign as kings and queens in a life that is indestructible with our Savior. But not just you and me, but everybody. Not just over my death, but over everyone's death. Let's read this passage together. This is verses 18 and 19. This is your homework. Yes, I'm going to ask you to memorize this passage. It's kind of hard to memorize, but I would encourage you to memorize it while you're brushing your teeth. You know, read it in the morning when you brush your teeth, and read it in the evening when you brush your teeth, and you get extra credit if you can read it out loud while you were brushing your teeth. But if you read it 14 times over the next week, it'll be memorized, I guarantee it. So let's read it. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Did you notice it says, all people. God's grace doesn't just overflow my death and your death. God's grace overflows everyone's death. So whoever we meet, they are under the sentence of death because of Adam, but God's grace overflows to conquer their death. So everyone we meet, we can say, your death has been conquered. This is the good news that Paul wanted the Romans to have an absolute certainty of, so that they would be a mission congregation that would share this good news, not only with his friends, but their friends, but also help him be a missionary to Spain. This is the truth that you and I get to share too. Grace wins every time, and every time, grace wins. If we remember, no matter who we interact with, no matter what they have done, while they were still God's enemies, Christ died for them, and God's grace, this gift, overflows to them to give them a life that will last forever. And that's what we're here for, is to share this good news, that they might know it and believe it too. By faith, we receive this marvelous promise. Now, Paul goes on and explains something right at the end of the chapter. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. You know, If we were already guilty because of Adam's sin, then why did God give the law? Didn't God give the law so that we could try to be good enough and somehow earn God's right, a right standing with God, this righteousness that God demands? Why did God give the law? The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Why is it a hallmark of Lutheran Christianity that we begin our worship services coming before our God's altar and confessing our sin? Why do we want to focus so much on our sin? Because the more clearly we see our sin, the more clearly we see that we are guilty and subject to death, even from Adam's sin, and then we have our own sins of thought, word, and deed. The more clearly I see my sin, the more I will appreciate that God's grace overflows my sin and overflows my death. And so if this is the message that we want to share, then I would encourage you to figure out how you're going to share it. What's your story? What's your picture of the idea that where sin increased, grace increased all the more? When you're talking with somebody that just is overwhelmed with a sense of guilt and despair, what's your picture? You've heard mine. My picture? I'm a farm boy. I took pigs to the county fair. And so I appreciated that the bigger the pile of manure there was, the more I appreciated that something was going to come and take that pile away, right? Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. The more clearly I see my sin, the more I'll appreciate God's grace. If you're a farm boy or girl who took pigs or cows to the county fair, you can use this illustration, but if not, it'll fall flat. What's your illustration? Anybody have ants in their house? Anybody ever have ants in your house? Some of us are not. I'm sure there's more ants in the house. But anyway, if you have ants in the house, the more ants you see, the more you appreciate that rain kills them all, right? Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. What's your story? You know, this past week, I was disappointed that I'm not Canadian. You see, I have Chase credit cards. And Chase got out of the Canadian credit card market. And you know what they did this past week? Those huge bills that stood against all those Canadians, they are forgiven. Where sin increased, where the debt is greater, grace increased all the more. You will appreciate God's grace and forgiveness all the more. What's your story? So that you can help people understand it's okay for you to see how sin and death has spread into your life because God's grace overflows. And then finally, you know, this whole great exchange thing. You know, I could have found this marvelous picture of the Great Exchange, but instead on the back of the worship folder, I chose this. This is not a very pretty picture of the Great Exchange. Why did I choose this? Because I just want to remind you, you don't have to be an artist to share the Great Exchange. That Adam's sin, my sin, my death, the whole world's death, has been transferred to Christ. And that Christ placed all of that guilt and death, or that God the Father placed all that guilt and death on Christ. So that when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our sin and death. He sees Christ's perfect right standing with him. He sees a life that will never end. If it is true that grace overflows, then there's something even better than playing tag with the whole idea of death spreads. You see, who did I start with? Linda. I started with Linda. You're it. You live, and you have to stand. And I'm not going to go through it all over again, but you are all it, right? Grace overflows, so please stand. Because you have experienced not just the death of Adam, you are not just it because you have inherited sin and death, you are it because you have experienced the overflowing grace of God. In just a minute, we're going to come up here and we're going to kneel here, and guess what? Jesus is going to tag us, isn't he? He's going to say, you're it. God's grace has reached to you. And now I want you to share that grace with others. Because you know that grace wins.
Every time.
Grace wins. You did so much better than the group last night. Excellent. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this incredible message of grace. Help us to claim this truth for ourselves, that we might know that we reign in life that will never end, that we are perfectly right in your sight for Jesus' sake. And help us share this marvelous truth with others. Amen.